Morning, everyone, and we are glad to see some people back, and Barbara's back from Africa, like 6 weeks or something. That's crazy. And then Jeremy's back from spending time in Mexico and mission trips there, and so we got people that are going places and doing things, and I know they were thankful for what you was able to give to them to go down the road, and well, I'm sure in the next week or so we're going to give them an opportunity to share what's going on the other parts of the world. And so we want to welcome you guys back. Thank you for going for us. There you go. And like I said, we'll give them more time. We'll give them some time here in a week or so, and I'll talk to them and work something out. So it's always good to hear what's going on from those that go out to places that you and I are not going to. So I always get asked to go to Honduras or Ecuador or Cuba and those places, and I just feel like God's not called me to go there. He just called me to stay here and work in this mission field. And so some go and some stay. But it's good to see you guys back. Today we're going to be in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. I want to tell you today that, and you don't have to really get my opinion on it, but if you don't really know what's going on, if you don't keep your eyes on in the world, you got some rose-colored glasses on. I'm telling you, it's not pretty. And the church is not, I mean, the church is rising, and Jesus said himself he will build his church. Some of our churches are going in the wrong direction, not where I want to go today. I want to work with those today that want to do the right thing. Because it's no longer about what's in the church really. Once you become, that whole redeemed song is, if you redeem, live like you're redeemed. Right. Don't talk about it, just don't sing about it, live like you've been redeemed. And I want to tell you, if you know that you've been redeemed and you're living like you've been redeemed, you'll be asking the Lord, what do you want me to do? That's right. We all ask from the Lord. The Bible tells us we need to ask for prayer and petition and thanksgiving to the Lord because He is the giver. He is our Father. He's our Creator. We need to have prayer about our own life. But I want to tell you one thing that I'm not seeing. I'm not set. This is my opinion. I'm not seeing the church with a broken heart for what's going on out in the community today. Some of us have rose-colored glasses. We have no idea what's going on out there. And I want to tell you, Fox News is not giving us all the news. CNN is not giving us all the news. Sometimes you got to go a little deeper. And I think as much as what's messed up today here, it was also messed up back then. But what we see here in this New Testament and the people of this New Testament is many of them were on fire for the Lord. Now, they had their own problems. A lot of them had their problems. Just go into Revelations and read about the seven churches. A lot of problems. Let me get started before I get off topic here. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, we know Paul is writing. He says in verse 1, therefore, since we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we do not lose heart. And I want to tell you what they do is they share the gospel. That's the key thing right there. They share the gospel. I want to tell you, the importance of the gospel is key. It's key. Don't get, the Bible says to work out your own salvation. Fear and trembling. We don't work it out. We don't do that. We just take it for granted. We run with it. But I want to share with you the importance of the gospel. It is God's only way for salvation. There's only hope through Jesus Christ. It is God's only way for forgiveness of our sins. It's the only door to heaven. And the gospel is man's only hope. The gospel is that important. And we see, therefore, since we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we do not lose heart. No matter how hard it gets, they don't lose heart. They keep doing it. They keep moving through it. Listen, I want to tell you right now, and I don't need to be ugly, but if you've had the same problem for the last 10 years, you're not trusting Jesus with it. That's Jesus is a miracle worker. It sounds if you got the same problem for 10 years, there is a miracle worker, and his name is Jesus Christ. And some of it is, maybe it's the something that something happened to you in the past, you need to find someone. This is the place. We'll find the right person for you to work through something if something happened to you at 5, 6, 7 years of age. Or if something happened to you as a teenager, you don't work through that. That should not captivate you. You should not be a prisoner of that anymore. Because Jesus sets us free. And the ministry is hard. That's what I'm talking about today. And people say, well, I preach too much about ministry. Well, I'm telling you, that's what the Bible's about. It's about ministry. It's about serving Christ. Letting Christ serve through you to help people. Verse 2, but we have renounced the hidden things of shame. We're changing our ways, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestations of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. We expose and we help people who are struggling in their life, who feel they have no hope. Listen, if you have the same problem day after day, year after year, it's a problem. You need help. You need help. There's nothing wrong with needing help. Knock the chip off your shoulder. Admit that you have not triumphed over it. Then you need help. Whatever it is, it's your marriage, it's in pornography, it's drug, whatever it is. Admit that you need the help. Verse 3, but even if the gospel is veiled, it's veiled to those who are perishing, whose minds of the God of this age have blinded, who do not believe. At least the light of God, of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. Churches, let's be honest. This church should be going through 3 church services a week. We should have 3 church services on Sunday morning. All those people who say they've been redeemed, they like the thought of it. They like the word. They like the meaning. They like the idea of it. But when they go out into the world, they're not equipped to be redeemed and living it out. And so they go back into that cesspool and they become a prisoner of that life. This church, as many people has come through the doors of this church, we should have, even if not all of them came. If all of them came, we would have church service all day. 7, 8, 10 services on Sunday. How many of you know someone that used to sit next to you or sit in the spot you're sitting in? And I want to tell you, most people that leave this church do not go to another church. They fall out. They fall out. And he says the gospel, when it preached the gospel, it is veiled, it is blinding. They're not seeing it. Why? The Bible tells us the God of this age has blinded them, so they do not believe. They don't believe it. They don't believe in the gospel of Jesus Christ. Who's the God of this age? It is Satan. Churches don't want to talk about him. They want to talk about how to get your best life now, how to get yours, how to get your stuff, how to get your miracle today. That's garbage. Let me tell you, if you work out in fear and trembling of your own salvation, you'll know that that is a miracle that you have inside of you every single day. Every single day. But it is veiled to those because the darkness is blinding them, and we need to be praying for the lost people. We need to be praying for those who have fallen away. Listen, if you got anger and bitterness in you, that's not of the Lord. That's not of the Lord. If you're angry with me, that's not of the Lord. That's of darkness. And I want to tell you, darkness works more in us than we possibly can think. But praise God that Jesus Christ, His Holy Spirit, is stronger. He says, for we do not preach in verse 5, we do not preach ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves for bondservants for Jesus' sake. We're stuck with Christ, and that's a good thing. We are bondservants. We're there. We're like slaves to Christ. We don't preach new life. We don't preach me. We preach Jesus Christ. We preach Jesus Christ. He's the one that saves. He's the one that does miracles. He's the He is the Son of God. He is the only way to salvation. We preach Him. But I want to tell you, your Jesus and my Jesus, if it's the real, has to be the same one. It can't be that, oh, He says I can live this way because I'm special. And I was created and I was born this way. Or I do this, I do that, I can do this because I'm special. No, you're not. The Bible says God don't have favoritism. He don't show favoritism. Now, somebody said, well, that person gets, let me tell you something. Now, when you walk in the Lord and you're being faithful, God, you can be blessed. God will bless and show favor, but He's not showing favoritism. He's showing favor because you're following in His ways. You're living the life that He's called you to live. He's going to answer your prayers in those ways. He's going to not just give you your needs. As you live and walk in His way, He's going to give you some of those wants. And those wants are the things that are perspective with Him and you. The partnership. The partnership. He says in verse 6, For it is the God who commanded light to shine out of darkness. We talked about that last week. Who has shown in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ Jesus. Basically, Jesus needs to radiate off of you and flood out into the community. Flood into your family. Do what you got to do, but do it in the ways of the Lord and let light shine. Let light shine. And it's going to shine out of the darkness because we all have lived in darkness at one time. But this is Huntington is a dark place. All towns have darkness in it, but light needs to penetrate out of the darkness. And if the church doesn't do it, who's going to do it? No one. No one. It has to be done by the folks that are believers, the church. And don't give me the hogwash. I don't need to go to church to get to be the believer that God wants me to be. Listen, you don't know your Bible. You don't know Hebrews chapter 10, verse 23, 24, and 25. You don't know them. You see, so many people think they know God's word. They know what God's thinking. But if you don't pick up your Bible, you don't know nothing. Your opinion is trying to trump God's word. Listen, nothing trumps God's word. Not a man, not a thought, not your ideas, not my ideas, not vision, not ministry. God's word trumps all things. But verse 7, he says, we have this treasure in earthly vessels. We've got this stuff in my body, inside of me, that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us. That there's a power that lives inside of us that is the Holy Spirit. Because you can't do these things. We can't be the church we are today without God involved. We cannot be the individuals that God's called us without the Holy Spirit being inside of us. And he says, verse 8, I'm telling you, it's hard. It's not easy. He says, we are hard pressed on every side. Listen, when the light shines, darkness is pressing. Ministry is not easy. And I want to tell you, if there's a church in town that's difficult to pastor, it is this. It's not because of you. It's because darkness keeps pressing on this church. I'm telling you, I'm not bragging on this church. I'm bragging on the Holy Spirit. But what God has been able to do through the Holy Spirit in the last 19 years, I'm telling you, it is a miracle of God. And He has used broken people. He has used uneducated people. But He chose us to do it. And if God says do it, you build the ark. No matter how many you have, you keep building. Because the rain will come. I'm telling you, there are times when it gets hard pressed and it's on every side. You got a problem here, you got a problem here, you got issue here, you got issue here. And I'm going to tell you, in this church, there's always a building problem. There's always a leak somewhere. There's always something. There's always something. So he says, we're hard pressed on every side, yet not crushed. We're not crushed. That means we're not taken out. We are perplexed. Yes, it is difficult. We get confused at times, but we focus on the Holy Spirit. We do what we're called to do, but we're not in despair. We have not said, oh, we can't do this. And even though we sometimes get persecuted, he says persecuted, there are people that talk about new life. There's people that talk about me, and I want to be honest with you. Bob, there's people talk about you. Carla, there's people talked about you. Now, when I tell you, people talk about people, but I'm telling you, you got to take it. Because you're not doing it for yourself. I am replaceable. Carla is replaceable. Bob is replaceable. And one day we will be replaced. But as long as it's building, I pray, Lord, that the Holy Spirit will never be replaced here. Because you can take out anybody, but you can't take out the Holy Spirit. But we're not forsaken. God's not forgotten us. We're struck down. We've been hit a few times on our knees. And we're in that area, in a couple of areas right now. We're on our knees. I am. But we're not destroyed. We're still standing. Always carrying about, in verse 10, always carrying about in the body of the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our body. We live with hope. I live with a hope in me. I hope you live with a hope in yourself. That hope is not from me. That hope is from the Holy Spirit. There's a hope in God, and knowing I believe in His Word, that you believe in His Word. That hope is an amazing peace. That hope is an amazing peace. And we carry the gospel, and it's wherever we go, which makes you a dangerous person, a dangerous weapon to the darkness. Because where you go, you hold the voice and the instructions on the gospel of Jesus Christ. So wherever you go, if you open your mouth and you share the gospel, you become an annoyance. You become an enemy of the darkness. Because somebody just might come to Christ if you share the good news. Somebody just might come to Christ and their name be written in the Lamb's Book of Life because you shared the gospel. We always should carry that in us. We should always carry that in us. And there's some people say, well, I just don't know. I don't feel strong enough to share the gospel with people. That just tells me that you're not reading your Bible and you're not studying enough and you're not praying. The Lord, give me the courage to do it. Because there's people that I can't get to that only you can because you work or you see them, they're your neighbors, whatever. And you need to be doing that. In verse 16, it says, therefore, we do not lose heart. Listen, if every time something happened in New Life, we lose heart, we've been done. Been sold these buildings and we'd have been done if every time we lose heart over every problem we've had. I'm not going to lose heart. We can't lose heart. We can't do that. But he says, we not lose heart, even though the outward man is perishing. I'm not as young as when we first started. And neither are you. Some of you picked up some kids along the way. That's awesome. That's awesome. Your family's growing. You're growing. But I remember the day when we first started New Life. And I remember looking at Brother TB and some of the others and seeing how young I was and maybe how older they were. And now they're like, I'm in their spot. Even though the outward man is perishing. When we started New Life, we know this. We had a youth group and Scott did the youth group. And I would not even dare give him youth group now. Wouldn't even dare give it to him now. But in the beginning, it was the right piece, the right thing. On it. So my outward part, your outward part is falling apart. Even though our outward being is perishing, but the scripture says, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. What's inside of you does not get old. That Holy Spirit does not get old. What's inside of you, that love and mercy is renewed every day for as you love and you get up in the morning and you got to go to work and you say, Lord, help me throughout this day. And what you do is you'll pray for your family and your kids and those things. But I want to challenge you to start praying for people that you know are not in a good place. So I know that the outside I'm falling apart, but on the inside I'm renewed and fresh, refreshed, renewed every day. Every day. Every day. That gospel is the same every day. That love and peace in my life is renewed every day. Why? Because there's a hope in the words and there's a hope, an eternal hope, Christ. Verse 17, for our light affliction. Yeah, that's a light affliction, which is but for a moment, hard times for a moment, is working for us a far more exceedingly and eternally weight of glory. While we do not look at things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen, For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. I almost feel like these buildings are kind of like how we are. When we've got this building, we were just really broken down, and this building is still being, is still broken down. But you can see we have scaffolding over there, and we've done some rework, and we're trying to build this building up to be where it could be more usable and more presentable and more honoring to the Lord and even into the community, that we don't look like this thing called blight and all that kind of stuff, that we don't look like a rundown church. But I want to tell you, we're working on that, but we also got to work on who we are. Because even the building, one day this building will not probably stand. But we need to be respectful of God's house, take care of it. But it's those things that it's the other things. You got some things that are temporal, but you got these other things that are eternal. And what is eternal is the most important, without neglecting the temporal. If God decided to send Jesus today, how many of you be going up into heaven looking, trying to look back and thinking, I hope my daughter, my son is coming? Don't you get all caught up in thinking that you can live the life that you want to live. I'm thinking, I got saved at so-and-so date, and I can live the way that I want. That's not God's word. It's not God's word. He said, therefore, since we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we do not lose heart. But we are hard-pressed on every side, yet not crushed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. Always carrying about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our body. We don't preach ourselves. Started off by saying, some of us look through rose-colored glasses. And I know you. How many of you were blessed just growing up and you had great parents and you just grew up in a good family? I'm not saying all families are good for you. Doesn't mean that your family was perfect. It doesn't mean that if you had a good family, that bad things didn't happen. Or what I want to get to you is this, this is a hospital. I'm going to say it again. I need you to own it. I own it. I'm telling you, I own it. But I need you to own it. I'm seeing things out there in the world. Doing a funeral on Monday. Can't tell you how about it happened. 28-year-old lady. Susan and Chris, I'll tell you more about that at the end. They lost their daughter earlier this week, 28 years old. Not going to get into the story of it, but you can take it where you want it. How many of you know the drug world that's going on? I mean, honestly, how many of you all been affected by it? Okay. I'm sick of it. I'm sick of it. I'm sick of the drug world. I'm sick of it. I'm sick of it. In Philadelphia, they're walking around. They have several blocks where they're walking around, and they call it Zombie Land. 70,000 drug addicts out on the street, and they're just sitting there, and they're walking slow, and they just trip over the curbs, and they fall down, or they're laying down, and cars are just passing them. We don't see it. We're not seeing it. We're not seeing it. We're blinded. We put the rose. I'm just telling you. In Indianapolis, it's a mess. Chicago is a mess. Huntington's a mess. I'm going to share something with you today, because I'm telling you, we need to own this. If you come here, you're either getting served, and we're helping you, and it won't be long, you get through your things, we love you just the same, we want to love on you, we want to help you, and then you need to get on the other side of the counter. And I know it's scary for some of you that I've asked to get on the other side of the counter, because you know I don't know that, but we'll find an area for you, because we've got so many areas to cover. I'm going to say this. I know Carla talked to me about it a lot. I want to tell you, last night I wasn't feeling good. We went to a Chuck E. Cheese party for one of our granddaughters, and went home, and I was not feeling good, and I went to bed, and Carla came home. She was in Detroit or somewhere in Michigan anyway for a women's conference. And I just told her, I called her on the phone and said, I'm going to bed. So I went to bed. She came home and she woke me up. She was standing in the doorway. I hope it's okay. I'm about to share this. And she had her phone and she said, Jimmy. And I tell you, if I'm sleeping deep or whatever, all I got to do is hear my name. And just that certain tone, I know something's up. And I can know that she was just getting ready to break. She said, my brother's in jail again. She said, look at him. He looks like he's dead. He looks like he's dying. And she showed the phone, and there he was again, a 6th, 7th arrest. The world can't fix the drug problem. The world can't, they want to legalize it. And if any, don't tell me, if you're going to come and tell me something that was said some couple weeks ago in Sunday school class, I know what it was, and we'll deal with that. But I'm telling you, just because the world legalizes something doesn't mean God does. And I want to tell you that legalizing marijuana, I'm telling you, it affects the brain. It is a gateway to drugs. I'm going to say it. So I'm telling you, the doors of this church, Satan is, listen, I'm telling you, Scott, we talk about this all the time. Why is this church not filled? I'm telling you, it is because whose minds and God of this age has blinded who do not believe. Satan is putting a hedge around this church. As much as we read in the book of Job, where God has put a hedge around Job to protect him, Satan complained about it. Darkness also puts a hedge around our areas and trying to keep people from coming in. Because it's a place of hope. It's a place of restoration. It's a place where a person can receive the gospel. And they can receive it out there, but this is where you become and you grow in your walk with the Lord. You become a new creation in Christ. Heard someone say the other day, somebody was out, they were joyriding and picked up some friends, and they went out and bought themselves some heroin. And he passed out in the driver's seat. Woke up, and the passenger behind them was dead, the passenger behind that person was dead, and the passenger in the front seat was dead. And we don't talk about it. Satan is killing people. Listen. The Bible says he came to steal, kill, and destroy. Do you understand that? We are experiencing that scripture. I tell you all the time, it's not about reading the scriptures, it's learning what does it mean to experience the scripture? And to experience that, we're experiencing that in America. And every family is beginning to become affected by the drug world. Grandma's. Can I call it out? Can I call it out, Jota? Can I say something? Have you ever been stolen from by your grandkids? I love you. I do. I feel for you. I pray. It's a horrible feeling, isn't it? I know some other people that's been stolen from. And the people that they least would like for them to steal from is someone that they love. Every family is affected by this, and it is a sin. And if you say, well, my family's great, I'm telling you, be careful, because pornography is creeping around the corner. This is why, listen, I'm not getting into this. I'm not, I'm just saying, if you're married, come together. I'm saying that's the whole problem, but I'm just saying. Pornography is a beast. It warps the mind. Get into the scientific part. It warps the mind. And then even if it's not that, we have the mental issue that's going on out in the world, and the world just wants to say it's all mental. Listen. There is people that have mental problems. I believe that. I do believe that. But I also believe in Mark chapter 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5. I also believe in Matthew chapter 7, 8, and 9. I believe in those chapters where Jesus would come into a city and people would come and come into a village or a town and people would flock to him and they were either had a disease or they were demonic, possessed. But nobody wants to talk about it. Listen, I went all the way up to the chain, pretty much all the way up to the chain of Southern Baptists, and nobody wants to talk about demonic. Nobody does. Because it's all about building. How big can you build your church? You know what that really means? How much money are we going to get from you? Listen, I just believe money is a tool. That's all. It's a tool. It's a tool to do the things God's called you to do. Therefore, since we have this ministry, as we received mercy, we do not lose heart. I want to tell you, Carlos is right. Huntington is a dark place. So is Fort Wayne. So is Bluffton. You want to see darkness? You want to see not darkness, but you want to see a dead town? Go to Mount Pilgrim. You just drive through it, and if you got spiritual discernment, you'll feel it. This is flat dead. But there are godly people that are trying to make it happen. Because they do not lose heart, and they're working through that. But I want to tell you, the people in Huntington, they need hope and a healing. Amen? They need hope and a healing. They need help, and they need to be prayed for. They need to eat, and they need a bed to sleep into, counseling and teaching, preaching. They need to be saved. They need to be sober. They need to be cleaned. They need to be cleaned up from drugs. The marriages need to be restored, and they need that peace there. They need the gospel, and Huntington needs New Life Fellowship, and Huntington needs New Life Ministries. And if this church isn't for you, it's okay. Find one that you can get into. But I'm going to tell you, and I'm just saying, what God has called this church to do is an amazing piece. They know us down in Florida. They know us in Mississippi. They know us in Alabama. They know us out in Missouri. They know us in Illinois. They know us in Kentucky and Tennessee and in Ohio. They know us in Atlanta, Georgia. And now Mexico and Africa. But I'm just telling you, we need to be what God's called us to be. And I need you to own that we are a hospital, that we are not a country club. We don't reach the ups and outers because there are a lot of rich people. They need the Lord, but that's just not who we're built. They're not likely to come here. You know, Huntington has a skid row. You know what that means, right? Not as bad in some other places, but it is. You know people sleep under the bridge in Huntington? You know there's several, I just even talked to another pastor last week, that there's some people living in some abandoned cars. And we can't even get up. And I'm praying for Trinity because they're trying to do this winter shelter because we're not allowed to. Because we don't have a sprinkler system. I'm not going to go down that road. Darkness fights in all kinds of areas. We're going to share the gospel. God has us in a tough place to share it. Because not enough people in this community come to church here. Most of us come from out of town or at least 5 miles away. We need to have more people that are living to come in this community right in here. I need you to own today that we are a hospital in your own heart and your own spirit, that we are a hospital. Listen, if you want to go to a church where they got the greatest children's ministry, it's great. We're going to do the best that we possibly can in our nursery and our children. We're really, really trying to raise the bar. But if you want those knockout awesome ministries, kind of like that for your kids, and you're thinking you just go on down there, but I want to tell you something. When those kids go to those churches, they're being served. I challenge you to take them down to the soup kitchen where they can serve. Sometimes we need to share with our children some of the problems we got going on. Not the big bad ones, but some of the ones that we need to share. Hey, Uncle so-and-so is in jail. I know you love him and I love him. Will you pray with me? And teach them how to pray for broken people. So I couldn't even sing Redeemed today because I just too many faces were coming to my head. Of people who claim to be redeemed are not living redeemed. Or so many people that need to be redeemed and don't know how, and they're refusing it. And God just allowed me to feel brokenness for about 3 minutes and then didn't like it. But it's a part of this ministry. It's a part of this ministry. So what I want to do today is I'm going to come to a moment. I'm going to ask you that if you'd like to come and pray and just ask God to speak to your own heart or to pray whatever He has for you, whatever it is that you pray and you get it right with Him. Maybe it's something in your life and you need to work on. Maybe it's somebody else and you need to intercede for them and you need to pray for them. Maybe it's a ministry that you've been thinking about. Maybe it's something we're not even doing and God's been putting it on your heart. I'd love to talk with you about that. But whatever it is, I'm going to ask you to pray and give it to the Lord. If you got anger or bitterness or anything against anyone in the church, you need to take care of that, because you're not gonna feel the awesome joy of your salvation. Let me tell you, unforgiveness, bitterness, and anger, it steals your joy. It steals your joy in the Lord. So I'm going to ask you, let's go ahead and stand. I want to give you that opportunity this morning. If you'd like to come down and pray, that you can do that.